Chapter 1. Edgerton, Montana, 1880s. It took all her strength for Montana Brown to push her assailant away. Rufus Hawk was a big man and he was strong, far stronger than her. He'd backed Montana into a corner in the barn and, try as he might, hadn't quite managed to get her onto the bale of hay.
"I said no, Rufus," she screeched,
but it made no difference. Rufus had a reputation, and Montana should have heeded the warnings. Never be alone with him was what she'd been told. Well, she wasn't alone. She was visiting with her horse, Trixie. In truth, the horse belonged to her fiancé, but he'd gifted her the horse when they'd got engaged.
"What's going on here?"
Lester Brooks bellowed, and suddenly Rufus jumped back, releasing Montana from his grip. The shock on his face was momentary. Then he wore a smirk.
"Montana couldn't keep her hands off me," he said,
turning toward the man she was to marry.
"That's a lie."
With trembling hands, Montana fumbled with the buttons on her blouse. Some were still in place, others torn away.
"Do you think I would tear my own clothing?"
Tears filled her eyes as she noted the rage on Lester's face. His fist connected with Rufus' jaw before she could blink an eye. Lester hurried to Montana and helped her up, his arms going around her, then walked her into the house. They left Rufus laying flat on the ground. He then walked her into the house. Despite the sounds of the townsfolk surrounding them, Lester ignored it all. If his parents hadn't offered to hold the church picnic on their property, none of this would have happened. He sat her near the fire, then wrapped a blanket around Montana's shoulders.
"I'll get you a mug of tea," he said.
He returned shortly afterwards, his mother following behind.
"Montana," Gertrude Brooks snapped. "You've really done it this time."
Done what? She was a victim of that revolting Rufus Hawk. Montana couldn't even bring herself to call him a man.
"I cannot allow you to marry my son after what you and Rufus did."
She pursed her lips and glared at Montana as though she were a snake in the grass. "Nothing happened. Lester interrupted.
"Mother, this is not Montana's fault."
He leaned down and put his arms around her in a show of support for his future wife. Gertrude Brooks turned on her heels and left the room, returning moments later with her husband, a smug look on her face.
"You have a choice, son,"
Harold Brooks said firmly.
This harlot," he said grimly, "or your inheritance."
Lester's parents then left the room, ceasing all discussion. Her fiancé turned to Montana, a look of shock on his face.
"I'm sorry, Montana," he said. "Looks like the wedding is off."
Montana couldn't believe Lester had dumped her after Rufus had put her in a compromising position. Choosing his inheritance over her was appalling, and they both knew it. Thinking about it, she should have known. His parents had hated her from the start. If she had been from the right side of town, things would have been different. Her family was not rich like Lester's, and that was the problem. His mother had been looking for an excuse to get rid of her from the moment the pair began stepping out. When this unfortunate situation arose, she should have known it was the end. Lester loved money. As it turned out, he loved it far more than he loved Montana. What she would do now? She did not know. She could, of course, stay in town with her tail between her legs, but that wasn't in Montana's nature. Not convinced she could take the embarrassment of the gossip that was sure to spread, she opted to leave instead. Not being in the wrong, she shouldn't even contemplate leaving. But if she knew Gertrude Brooks, Lester's mother, word would quickly spread that she seduced her attacker. The fact she'd been a victim of a man who had raped several women didn't seem to bother Mrs. Brooks. It was funny. Everyone thought her an upstanding citizen. But in reality, the woman was a viper and not one to be reckoned with. She stood on the train platform with her meager luggage. The memory of her mother's anguish was still heavy in her heart. None of it was her fault. But Montana knew she would be punished for the rest of her days should she stay in Edgerton. Her head shot up as she heard the train whistle in the distance. This was it. Wherever she landed, no one would know her history. The fact she was a compromised woman would not enter their heads. She could start anew with her head held high. Sadness overcame Montana as she realized she could never marry, and therefore never have children. She fought back tears as she stepped onto the near-empty train. Her ticket would take Montana to the end of the line, but where she alighted was another thing altogether.